Would you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3? I cut our time short last week. There was three passages I wanted to share with you as we dealt with the topic, what does the sending church do? And we looked at, there's an ongoing ministry of the sending church, and that's the area of prayer. We looked at 1 Thessalonians 5, where Paul asked them to pray for him. He just simply says, brethren, pray for us. Then we saw in Colossians chapter 4 that there's a continual ministry of prayer. And Colossians 4, verse 2, he says, continue in prayer and watch with thanksgiving. And he asks them to pray in verse 3 that God would open a door of utterance, that they would have boldness to be able to speak of Christ. And I'd like for us to look at another passage dealing with prayer today too. And Lord willing, we'll apply that to the work of being a sending church, but also being a church plant also. Look at verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Let's go ahead and pray, and then we'll look at this passage together. Lord, so thankful for God's people who are here, and I'm thankful for those who are even tuned in on live stream. Thank you for the work that happened this week, and we're grateful for the ministry that went forth from this ministry, and we're just so thankful for the grace that was so evident. Even as I think Abby said, there was tiredness, but they prayed and you gave them the grace. Lord, that was so evident over several days. Your grace was apparent, and we praise you for that because we were praying for that, and we honor you for that. We also prayed that somebody would get saved, and somebody did, and we praise you for that. We're thankful that the word of God was able to go forth. And so there's just many things that we can praise you for. And so we come to you now and we ask that you would just help us to understand our ministry, the ministry of prayer. And I pray that we would really get a hold of this and may Cornerstone really see the importance of praying, and may the word of God go forth in just a great way in that new area of Rhode Island. And we just look forward to what you're going to do. I pray that you would give me clarity and wisdom as I share these truths. And may you speak to us. It's not me. I pray that you would speak. And would you teach us? And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So the overall exhortation that we see here is directed specifically to believers, brethren. And he's asking them if they would join in prayer in the work that he was doing with Silas and Timothy. And notice that he's asking the whole church to pray for them. Finally, brethren, he's speaking to the whole church in Thessalonica there. And he's asking them to support them in prayer. And he's asking them to bring their ministry, this missionary work, before the only one who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could ever ask or think. And so their support was that of prayer. Pray for us. And folks, when he asks them to pray, he's teaching them several truths about prayer. First of all, there's three things I want to share with you here. First of all, it's important to not just generally pray. He's asking them to specifically pray. And so he's teaching them that it's important to not just generally pray or to just simply pray for their own needs. He's exposing the need for them to pray for something outside of their ministry, something outside of their own needs. And he's commanding them to pray for others that are doing God's work. And folks, do you ever get really general when you pray? I remember praying as a kid, and we joke even in the kids' ministry too, that when we pray together often with children, or even when I was a child, we prayed for our day. you know, like 50 times in the prayer. You know, God, thank you for this day. Would you bless this day? Would you help this day? Would you, you know, and we pray just very generally. But what Paul is teaching them here is to pray. There's specific things we can pray for. Pray for the work that's maybe outside of your ministry, and pray for those who are doing God's work in another area. And we call that intercessory prayer. And intercessory prayer is so important in the body of Christ. Folks, you may never go on the mission field. Hopefully you can go on a mission trip or something like that. But you may never go on the mission field, but you can partner and support that mission's work by praying for them. And that role is so important. And the sending church has a large role in partnering with the church plant or the missionary by praying for them. Never think that just praying is the only thing you can do. Okay? Sometimes we say that, well, I can't be a part of VBS. I'm going to just pray. Oh, folks, I'd love to have 3 dozen, 4 dozen, you know, 100 people praying for our Vacation Bible School. I would rather 100 people praying and have 10 workers than to have just nobody praying and as many workers as we can have. And the ministry of prayer is so important. We see this here that Paul is encouraging them. You can support us by praying for us. The second thing that he's teaching them is that they're not the only believers that need God's help. It's interesting, as I had prepared this message a couple weeks ago, and I think Becca, you were talking to me. She's going through the Book of Acts, and Paul in there asked the people to pray for him, and it was striking to me as I was studying this that we all share a common need for God's help. And so Paul's encouraging them, the Thessalonians here, that he needs God's help. You're not the only one going through needs, and he's teaching them, pray for us. The Apostle Paul has needs that God can meet, and they can partner and support that, his ministry and others' ministry by praying for them. You know, we can often feel very alone, and even think as we go through trials that we're the only ones who are going through a trial. But when we pray for others' needs, it helps us to understand that we're not the only ones in spiritual battle. When I hear you say, "Hey, I need God's help in my health. I need God's help at work. I need God's direction." When you share that, it's an encouragement to me because I'm not the only one that's struggling. And oftentimes it's so easy for us to come into church and think, "Oh, well, I'm just going to put on this facade. I've got it together." But folks, the Apostle Paul asked for prayer. He needed help. And he realized that it wasn't his gifting that enabled him in the ministry. It was God. And they were able to partner with him and encourage him through prayer. I came across a commentator, and he said, "One of the best ways for you to help bear your own burdens is for you to get under someone else's burden. If you realize that others have needs too, as you pray for them, it will make your own load lighter." And I thought that was really good. You know, as you start to focus on others and start praying for them, there's an encouragement that happens in your heart as you draw closer to God. And as you bring their needs before God, it's like God lightens your load and lightens your heart and just fills a need as you're with him and pleading for others in that area of prayer. So don't ever think that prayer is just something I do because I can't be a part of that ministry. No, it's a wonderful, important ministry that we all can take part of. And so he's teaching them to pray specifically, but he's teaching them that there is a common need. We all need God's help. So he encourages them to pray for us. The third thing he teaches them is no one's really above the need for God's help. Similar to what we just looked at, the Apostle Paul needed God's help. We all need God's help. And if we're going to accomplish anything in the ministry, in any sort of ministry, it's got to be God's doing. The ministry is not something that you can just continue on in your own might. Your might will fail at some point. So he's teaching them, this has got to be God's work. God's the one who advances his work. And we need God's work in leading in this ministry. And so Paul was letting them know, I need God's direction. I need God's help. And certainly he was going through trials and he was going through opposition. And he's encouraging them to pray because he recognized that he needed God's help. And folks, a church plant needs God's help. Every one of our missionaries need God's help. And every one of you need God's help. You know, Pastor, almost weekly, almost every service asks us, get your directories out. Pray for one another. Folks, it's not just something he says because he can't think of something else to say. Okay? It's something we need to do. We need to pray for one another. We all need God's help. And I would encourage you too, if somebody talks to you about a need, or maybe you perceive a need from somebody else, take it on as your mission to pray for that specific need. Maybe somebody says, I'm not telling everybody, but I would just like you to pray specifically. Folks, take that on as your mission. God has entrusted you to pray for that, and it's a privilege to be able to do that. And so I would encourage us to really just be men and women of prayer. Paul is teaching Thessalonians here that they need to pray. And so, folks, we need to pray for our pastors. Okay? We need to pray for Cornerstone. We need to pray for our missionaries, our teachers. We all need prayer. And we're not going off planting a church in Westerly because we think we're able to do that. You understand that? We're not going there because we're like, we've got this. I know just what to do. Okay? I'm so much better. Okay? It's not that. Folks, we don't know what we're doing. We can't do it. But Christ is the one who built this church. And he's called us to do that. And we need God's help. And no one's above the need for God's help. You're not above that. You need God's help too. And ascending church can come boldly before God and pray for fellow laborers in that church plant. And it's a privilege to pray. So Paul is teaching the Thessalonians here the importance of prayer. It's not just something we do because, you know, we like to talk about it. Okay, it's something that a believer has a great privilege of doing, and it's a high calling where we can go to our Father and bring our request to Him. And so notice in our passage, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us. Well, how should we pray? And he lays that out in the next couple of verses there. Notice what he says. How should we pray? Well, he says that the word of the Lord may have free course. And then there's another effect of the word of God that he prays for here. Okay, pray that the word of the Lord may have free course, but also that it may be glorified even as it is with you. I want to share really three ways he's telling us to pray here. The first two have to do with the word of God and how the word of God affects that area. And then the last one is in verse 3. But notice what he says in verse 1. How should we pray? Well, that the word of the Lord may have free course. The idea of free course is the idea of running a race without obstacles. Okay, you're just running, and it's very simple. Maybe some of you have run before, and it's very simple, and it's very easy. Maybe when you were a kid, do you remember running as a kid? You run down a hill, and it's like you can feel like, okay, not the way that you feel now, okay? There's a struggle, right? There's hindrances. Our own bodies are hindrances in that. But the idea of free course is the idea of spreading, running without any obstacles. Came across this illustration. I thought this was applicable since there's all these Canadian wildfires. Thank you, Canada, for all of that. But I guess back in 2016, there was a record-breaking wildfire, and at first it just appeared like the typical Canadian wildfire. But because of the extreme heat and the winds and the dryness, it spread at a record astonishing speed. And in a matter of days, they had to evacuate over 90,000 people. It was just incredible how fast it spread. And I don't necessarily remember it. Maybe you guys remember that back in 2016. But it's my understanding that that it was a record-breaking wildfire, and even today, they've had to evacuate an incredible amount of people. And the flames spread faster than the firefighters could work, and it went on and on and on for days and days. The firefighters would make their roadblocks, and the fire would jump the roadblocks and everything, and it had free course. And folks, that's the word that Paul is asking them to pray for in relation to the gospel spreading. Okay? That the gospel would spread like wildfire. Okay? And that's the word picture here. That God's word would spread rapidly. That God's word would spread quickly. And he's asking them to pray that that God's word would run freely and that there would be momentum. Hey, remember running as a kid? You go down a hill and you feel the momentum running down a hill, and it's almost like you could lift your arms and you could almost fly. Okay, we don't necessarily feel that now, being older, but there's momentum. There's freedom in running, and folks, that's how we need to pray in relation to the church plant with the Word of God going forth. God, would you let the Word of God spread like wildfire? Would you let it spread? Down Elm Street and up Spring Street and over on Route 1 and down 78 and in this neighborhood and that. Lord, we want that word, the word of God, your word, to spread like wildfire. It almost sounds like Paul's praying for a reviving work of the word of God and by the Spirit of God in that area, almost like a great awakening. And certainly, folks, we need to pray that way. We don't stop praying for revival. Don't stop praying for another awakening. Okay? We can pray, and we need to pray that way. And it sounds like that's what Paul is praying for, that the Word of God would have free course to spread rapidly and with momentum. Notice the second way he asked them to pray in relationship to the Word of God, that the Word of God, that the Word of the Lord may be glorified. And the word "be glorified," the words there, has the idea of being honored, of being esteemed glorious. And so he clarifies even at the end of that verse, even as it is with you. So just like you esteem the word of God as glorious, just like you have honored the word of God, he's asking them to pray that others would see the glory of the Word of God. So just like you receive the Word of God, Cornerstone people who are believers, just like you have heard and you love the Word of God and you have received it and you're honoring it by obeying it, that's how you need to pray that the Word of God would spread in Westerly. That people wouldn't just be like, okay, yeah, that's really good, Hope Bible Church, yeah, okay, the Word of God, but that they would receive it. And that it would be, the Word of God would be glorious in their lives, that they would honor the Word of God by submitting to the Word of God and receiving the Word of God as their own. And so folks, think of what God has done for you. Think of the way that God has ministered His Word to you and to me. That's the way that we need to pray. God, would you allow the Word of God to spread? And would you allow the Word of God to become glorious in the lives of those in Westerly? Not that it would just be a book to them, but that they would they would see it as wonderful and glorious, and they would honor God, and they would love God and esteem Him glorious by obeying it. What a great way to pray. So as a sending church, we can certainly pray that way right here. God, may the Word of God be glorious right here in Oakdale. But you have a privilege to be able to pray for another area. God, would you do that same work with your Word in the lives of those who are lost? That the people in Westerly would see the glory of God and would esteem Him glorious in their life. The third focus and the final focus of prayer is in verse 2. Notice what he says, that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Folks, what he's asking for here is a supernatural deliverance from the unreasonableness and the wickedness of men who desire to hinder the Word of God going forth. So the first two, he's asking, you know, may the Word of God spread like wildfire. May the Word of God be glorious. And you know what? Let's pray that God would do a great work of resistance against those who want to hinder the work of the gospel. So there's a whole group of people who absolutely do not believe the one true God. They hate the gospel. They hate those that preach the gospel. And Paul is asking them to pray that God would deliver them from those kind of people. I mentioned it last week, but I had several people and even a pastor tell me that it's going to be extremely hard and impossible to get a building in Westerly because there's such a Catholic influence. There's two or three that are Catholic churches that are very dominant in that area, and they do not want another church that they see as competition to them, and they will resist. They have strong ties into the commercial buildings of the area too, and they would love to resist them. There's other religions too that would want to hinder the work. But would you pray, Cornerstone, that God would deliver us from those kind of people? There's people who hear about it and they're like, oh, I'll do anything to resist it. Hey, we don't want that here in Westerly. If you're, we want another pizza store. We want another mattress store. Okay, but church that preaches the gospel that stands firm upon the truths of God's word, we don't want that. Okay, so there's a resistance to the truths of God's word, and Paul's asking the Thessalonians, hey, would you pray that God would deliver us from that? That there would be a supernatural deliverance from those who want to hinder the spread of the gospel. What a wonderful way for us to pray. Folks, we're up against an impossible work. Okay? Even if it was like in the Bible Belt, it still would be an impossible work. We can't do it on our own. But God's got to deliver us from those who want to resist the Word of God going forth. And you as individuals, you as a sending church, can partner with your missionaries and can partner with the church plan and praying that God would deliver us from those who would oppose the work of God. And it's a privilege for us to pray that way. Lord, the Lord can do it. The Lord is the one who has to do it. In our own might, we cannot resist. We can't oppose those on our own. We need God to do that work in the work of the gospel. And so we need to pray that the Word of God would have free course and that the Word of God would be esteemed glorious in the lives of those that hear it and that God would just deliver us from those who would want to hinder the work of the gospel. So as we close, how should a sending church pray? Well, I just want to share just a few applications. Pray that the gospel would have free course. Okay, very simple aligned with our text here. Just pray that the gospel would have free course and that the gospel would spread like wildfire in Westerly. That'd be wonderful if folks were getting saved and maybe some of those other churches that have gone liberal, some of those other churches who once were standing for truth, standing upon the truths of God's Word. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God did a great work and there had to be, 10 churches in that area ministering to people? Wouldn't that be great? Okay. The Word of God can do that. God can do that. But just pray that the gospel would have free course. It's not about Pastor Jake. It's not about Hope Bible Church. It's about the Word of God having free course. And we need to pray that way, that the gospel would go forth into homes, into the schools, into churches all throughout the town. And folks, those are specific ways that we can pray, that the Word of God would spread like wildfire. The second way we can pray is to pray that God would be glorified, that God's Word would be esteemed glorious in the church plant, and that people would really honor God by honoring His Word, and that they themselves would receive the Word of God and esteem Him glorious. And folks, isn't that praying according to God's will? As you pray this way, I mean, this is in Scripture. He's telling him, Lord, brethren, pray for us, that the Word of God would have free course, that it would be glorified. As we pray this way, it's in accordance with God's will. And what does He do as we pray in accordance with His will? He hears us. He answers it, right? And so this is not just religiosity. This is praying in accordance with His will, and God will answer that prayer. The third way that we can pray is to pray that God would divinely resist spiritual hindrances. That God would just divinely resist spiritual hindrances, and the gospel would have free course. And so, folks, the prayer ministry of Ascending Church doesn't stop after the church plant is going. It's an ongoing ministry. Once the sending church takes on that sending church, that church plant as a ministry, it's an ongoing support. And I believe that the prayer support is crucial. And I believe that it's a privilege for us to pray that way. And so the question again is, brethren, will you pray for us? I think that's an important question for us to keep asking. Am I willing to pray for the church plant? And as we close tonight, can I challenge you to pray in a couple of specific ways for Westerly? Can I share some ways for you to pray specifically? I know several of you have said that you have times during the week where you fast and you pray. And I'd like to share with you just a few specific prayer requests outside of what we looked at right here. First of all, would you pray for the team that will go with us? We're praying that just like with Paul, that we would have a Silas or a Barnabas or a Timothy or even a John Mark. Would you pray that God would build the team? Okay, we do not desire to go as lone wolves. We want people to join us and have a burden for us, and we're not the least bit interested in taking anybody from our church that God has not called. And so we are not trying to recruit, and you will see that if anything, I will resist folks from our ministry coming. Okay, we're not in any kind of competition. But there is a team that we're praying for, and there's three specific areas that I'm praying for that are personal ways that I'm praying, and just pray for those who could be part of the team, who would be a part of Hope Bible Church. Secondly, could you pray for a building for us? We live close to Westerly, so there are times when we can have prayer meetings and stuff at our house. But for counseling, for events, we need a place to have to meet. And so would you pray for a building? We have turned over countless stones to look for possibilities. We have several leads on several different kinds of buildings. And so we just need God's mind for that. Sometimes it feels like you're spinning a wheel. But as you spin your wheels, God is teaching you things and God is showing you things. And so we know it's all part of the process, but pray for a building. And then would you pray finally for our family's preparation? Okay, there is a lot that's been going on for us to prepare to even go on deputation for some time. We're going to have to raise some support. And so we have to put together a whole presentation. And those are things that we've been doing the last several months, putting together a website, prayer cards, a video presentation. So there's lots of preparation for us to go and present our ministry to other like-minded churches. And so there's been a lot of networking. There's a lot of guys in our New England area that I've already contacted that are saying, you know, we're ready when you're ready. Yeah, and so just pray that God would help us as we prepare. And once we finish the teen battle, we're planning to, as the Lord allows us, to on the weekends, even during the week if we have to go and present our ministry throughout New England and even further out if we need to. And that'll begin after the teen battle's done. And so would you pray for us specifically? There's a lot of logistics, moving an army, okay? And so we need God's mind in doing that. There's a lot of things in the works that we just need God's mind on. So if you could pray for our team, and I hate using the team because it sounds like a sports team, or it's not a sports team, but there's a group of people that we are praying towards and seeking God's mind about, and then a building, and then our own preparations of going out on deputation and raising support. We could really use your prayers. We need you to pray. And so if you would commit to praying, those of you who have asked me, Tuesday is the day that I'd like for those who want to pray specifically for Hope Bible Church. If you want to take some time on Tuesday, that would be the day that we could all do that together. But in closing, prayer is so important, folks. We need to see that as the ministry, the important ministry. And we have a privilege to be able to partner with each other in praying for one another. And so would you pray for us as we plant a church, Lord willing, in Westerly? We need your support, and we need your prayer support, and that's what we're praying towards. And so if you would pray for us, that would be a great honor for us to have you pray for us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this challenge from this passage to pray for one another. I know that sometimes prayer can seem like a mundane thing, but I do pray that you would help us to see that it's so important. We have such a great privilege of praying for one another, but also to pray for the gospel advance in this area and in Westerly. And so I do pray that that Cornerstone would really see the importance of praying. And Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do. May the Word of God have free course. May the Word of God be esteemed glorious in the lives of those who hear it. I pray that you would divinely hinder those who would want to hinder the gospel. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. And we ask this all in Christ's name. Amen.